Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, I am bringing back on Metallic Minerals and the CEO and chairman, Greg Johnson. Metallic Minerals is traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol MMG and on the OTCQB under the symbol MMNGF. Now, Greg, I've had you on the show before to introduce or kind of give a broad overview of the Metallic group of companies, but we haven't had a chance to focus on Metallic Minerals. Now, this is more the precious metals focus company out of that Metallic group of companies. The company holds, let's say, two of the main focus on projects. The main project, Keno Hill, that's in the Yukon, and also La Plata, that is in Colorado. Let's start off by talking about Keno Hill. We had some recent news that came out just last week on April 7th. We'll get into those drill results, but take us through this Keno Hill project in Yukon. What drew you to this property first and foremost, please?
Yeah, so great to be back on the show and to introduce Metallic Minerals as part of the Metallic Group. So Metallic Minerals is the silver-focused company, as you mentioned. Our interest in Keno Hill, which is our flagship, really started back at Nova Gold. Myself and many of the other members of the Metallic Group are former co-originators of Nova Gold Resources. And we had assets in Yukon, including in the Keno District, that we spun into Alexco. So we've got a long history in this district. Many of the Nova Gold team were seconded to Alexco in the early days. We saw an opportunity here back in 2016, recognizing the huge history of mining in Keno, 200 million ounces of over 1,000 grams per ton historically. You've now got 100 million ounces of one of the highest grade silver resources in the world. And with the recent discoveries in the district of Birmingham and Flame and Moth, these are 30 to 50 million ounce high grade discoveries by Alexco. It demonstrates that this is a district that has, you know, really a tremendous potential going forward, not just a history. And so coming into the district, Metallic Minerals first focused on acquisitions in the first couple of years. We consolidated really the eastern and southern parts of the district. So we're now the second largest landholder directly adjacent to Alexco. And part of those grounds that we picked up have, you know, eight separate areas that were producing high-grade material right from surface in the 1920s and 30s. So this is prime ground right on the main productive trends. We've got six advanced stage targets there. And then the other thing, Corey, that's super exciting for us is that the eastern half of the district really is virtually unexplored. There was some work done in the 1950s and 60s by Alexco's predecessor. And as far as we can tell, there was virtually no follow-up work until Metallic Minerals back in 2018. And so we went into that area. We started doing basically greenfields early stage exploration in this you know, proven brownfields district, and developed 12 separate multi-kilometer scale targets that we just started to test the first of those late last year, and had an initial news release earlier this year on that eastern Keno area. And then, as you mentioned, just released additional results on some of the high-grade targets on the western part of the district at our Formo target.
Greg, can you just remind everybody what the program was last year, and then we'll get into some of these results?
Yeah, pretty substantial program, actually, for, you know, our relatively young company. This was the largest drill campaign to date at Keno Hill. It was close to 7,000 meters of drilling, almost as large as Alexco's. Two drills, a core drill focused on the advanced stage targets on the west, moving those towards initial resource estimates. And then a reconnaissance reverse circulation drill to test the first of these multi-kilometer scale targets on the east. Excitement coming out of that area on the east was that we hit in 26 out of 30 holes, including six separate zones were up to 40 meters wide with bulk tonnage potential for silver. And then in these recent results that we just announced on the West Keno, you know, we hit in 11 out of 12 holes, Amazing success ratio there, and hit some spectacular intervals of 3 to 6 meters up to 3,500 grams per ton. So eye-wateringly spectacular silver grades.
So it sounds like a very successful program from last year, but also sounds like you're still trying to balance out a lot of targets, 12 different targets you outlined. What's the attack strategy going to be this year for your program?
Yeah, I mean, in exploration, your challenge is always, you know, especially when you've got a property as rich in targets as this, is to continuously kind of reprioritize. Are we working on the best areas that have the most promise to rapidly move to resources and then advance towards development? And so at Keno Hill, we kind of break it up into our advanced stage where we've already hit the structure. We're stepping out, down dip, along strike, vectoring, and trying to build tonnage. So we've got a number of those targets. And then secondly, we have to prioritize among these, you know, 12, you know, multi-kilometer scale targets. We have to say, which of those look like they have the best characteristics? Let's go in and test those. So this year, it's going to be a little bit of a combination, continuing to do the step out drilling on the advanced targets. On the east, it's going to be drilling some more of those targets. We've really only tested one. And then on the one that we did test, to follow up down dip and a long strike to see, can some of these zones we've hit have some legs? And can we quickly start to build tonnage on them?
So would you be able to put out a resource, say, this year after this year's program? Is that still just too early stage because you are still testing out and initially testing out some of these targets?
Yeah, you know, we'll have to see. We do need to do further work, but the work at Formo, for instance, because that already has a historic resource, that confirmatory step-out drilling really helped. It showed we have a strong system that's continuing away from the main historically known area of mineralization. So, Corey, we do need to do some more work, but our objective is to try to continue to advance these. And, you know, the internal objective of the company is to see if we can table a resource later this year through further work this field season.
So how many meters are planned for the program just at Keno Hill this year?
So this year, we've got the benefit of being able to start earlier than last year. Last year, you know, was such a strange year with COVID. We didn't get started until after our financing that was led by Canaccord Genuity. So we started late in August and ran as late as we could. This year, we're starting up next month in May. We'll look to go from two drills to three initially, probably a multi-phase, you know, program. So I think it's going to be at least double the program we did last year. We're still in the final planning stages, but a very substantial program, combination of both, you know, drilling on things that are known and starting to build out the scale of those systems, as well as testing these new exciting targets.
Okay, we will follow up as we get some more news on that drill program. One more point regarding Keno Hill, though. It is in Yukon, so I have to ask, what is the access like to the project?
Well, one of the great things about working in the Keno Hill district, you're right on the Silver Trail Highway. You've got grid power on site. There's 4 megawatts on site, with one being used by the current mill. So, you know, what we like to say in terms of the advantages of being in a brownfields district is that the size of what you need to discover to be significant is vastly reduced because you're on the road and you've got a mill already in the district. The timeline to take something from discovery and resource to production is a fraction, and the capital cost are vastly reduced. So the Yukon kind of breaks out into those projects that are on the road and in a mature mining district like Keno Hill, and those that are remote. And it's vastly different economics on those. So we're in that first category of really having all the infrastructure you need, including concentrate shipping facilities on the highway to be able to build a mine here in this district.
All right, let's move over to the La Plata property. This is in Colorado. Again, the flagship here is Keno Hill, but what's the strategy? What attracted you to La Plata to put it in the company's project portfolio?
Yeah, I would say La Plata is kind of call option value. I think you know, some of the institutional investors and large individual investors like Eric Sprott, you know, see it that way. The opportunity for us was that here was a district with a long history of high-grade silver and gold mining from the 1800s to the 1940s. And then you had two majors, Rio Tinto and Phelps Dodge, now Freeport, come into the district in the 50s and 60s, recognizing that at the center of the district was an exposed precious metal-rich porphyry system. So we've got a district that's got a combination of high-grade vein structures like Kano Hill and a porphyry system very similar to the Galore Creek deposit that we worked on with NovaGold. And so this opportunity to be able to come into a district like this that hasn't seen modern exploration for nearly 50 years and to apply new technology and new models, and is a great fit for our team in terms of the style of mineralization and the deposit models we're applying, it was really exceptional. It came in through our network, and this is one of those opportunities, Corey, where you're in the right place at the right time. And so still early days, we've just had that first season of work, but a couple of things we can tell. It fits our hallmark of it's a system that has scale measured in kilometers. It makes grade, it's exposed at surface, it's on the road, it's got power nearby. So it really has all the earmarks of something that could be a tier one asset. And that's really the hallmark of a metallic group, you know, type project.
So what's your guys' attack strategy going to be this year for La Plata?
Yeah, not as big a program as Kano, clearly, but first opportunity to get in. We now have the permit to do a confirmatory drill program in that historic resource area. And just to prove up the work that was done back in the 50s and 60s is solid with new assay techniques and everything. We've done airborne geophysics. We've got some ground-based geophysics, and we've been able to sample some of the historic core. So it'll be that first step program, similar to what we did at Formo and Kano Hill. And then coming out of that, we'll be able to assess better, you know, timelines and overall scale. But we would see this running in parallel with Kano Hill. And then for the time being, it's going to be, you know, a secondary priority, but, you know, could evolve to something that, like Nova Gold, where we had both Donlin Creek, the big gold asset in Alaska, and Galore Creek, the big copper gold asset in BC, where you're, you know, advancing two large assets in parallel.
Absolutely. Okay, let's talk about the team, and even more importantly, how this company came together under, again, that metallic group of companies umbrella. Greg, take us through, again, this company, how it came together, and highlight a couple key people on your team, please.
Yeah, so the opportunity here, 2016, we saw the potential for the bear market to see an inflection point, to be one of those windows where it's a great time to acquire assets. Might still be challenging to raise money. Metallic was the first company to come in, and the opportunity that really catalyzed things was Kano Hill. So myself and a number of the other folks here in the group are former NovaGold alumni, having been part of building the NovaGold story in the last metal price cycle. In addition, and some of the other folks we've brought in from other really well-known groups like Ivanhoe and others. These are folks that have a track record of exploration success and discovery in the kinds of deposits that we're exploring. And in addition, we bring a strong track record of project financing and even development with some of the members of the board.
All right. Let's also talk about the share structure as well. Shares outstanding, a little short of 127 million on a fully diluted basis, 158 million. There is a nice balance here of management's holdings, institutions, high net worth, and retail. Retail holds about 31% of those shares outstanding. Take us through some of the other key shareholders, and also how much does management hold?
Yeah, so management's a little over 20%. We believe strongly in that owner-builder mentality. So, you know, putting our own money as an investment alongside of our shareholders. Eric Sprott's the single largest shareholder. He came in about a year ago. This was his first exposure to the Kano Hill Silver District, and then topped up again in the financing last year with Canaccord. After that, we've got US Global, Crescat, and a number of other prominent resource-focused funds that have come in. I think these groups were impressed with the advanced stage targets that are right on the known productive trends in the Kano District, and then the very large-scale kind of swing-for-the-fences opportunity out on the eastern part of the district. So the company's in great financial shape right now. I mean, we've got a market cap that's north of $75 million. We've got $7 million cash in the bank. $12 million in the money warrants that are starting to come in. So we're really fully funded for our project objectives at Kano Hill and La Plata already. with the resources we have. We've got a great shareholder base. We're being tracked closely by Canaccord, who also covers Alexco and Keno District. So I think we're very well positioned in terms of adding value on the project. And I'm quite bullish on silver. I mean, I know it's been a brutal correction since August, September. A lot of people are feeling pretty low about it, but I think this is pretty natural pattern we see in the market today. And I think that it's getting to be long in the tooth in terms of this consolidation. Sentiment's quite negative. So I think we could see a turning point in the sector, and we may be right now planting the seeds for the next major move in the silver and gold sector.
As long as you guys are doing the good work too, we can, well, see stocks benefit from that as well, even outside of a silver price increase. But the last month has been encouraging for precious metals broadly. Let's wrap it up then, Greg. Please, just a general overview of what investors can expect in terms of news flow.
Yeah, so it's going to be an exciting year of news for Metallic in 2021. We've got the big expanded program at Keno Hill, so multiple drill program starting in May and running through the season. So multiple tranches of information that will flow from that work. In parallel, a more modest program at La Plata that will also kick off. There's still some results coming from recent work at La Plata as well in the very near term, and then kicking off our exploration programs in May and June.
Greg, I appreciate the update. If anybody has any follow-up questions for Greg Johnson regarding Metallic Minerals, or really any of the Metallic group of companies, I've brought them all on the show to introduce and even followed up on the back of some news, please email me, fleck@kereport.com, and I will get those questions answered for you. Greg, thanks again for the time, and please keep us up to date when some more news comes out regarding that drill program.
Yeah, you bet. Thanks a lot for having us on.